Welcome back to Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. There's a bonfire going on in Boston. Okay, not a real one, but that's just how Boston Globe innovation economy columnist Scott Kersner describes the region's ballooning cybersecurity industry. Dozens of startups, a steady flow of venture capital, not to mention a highly educated workforce, all have made Boston an epicenter of the cybersecurity industry, and Scott is here now to tell us more. Welcome back to the show.
Thanks for having me here.
Okay, so a bonfire, meaning?
I like the bonfire metaphor to sort of describe something that Boston does really well, and we should maybe pour a little more gasoline and, you know, get the s'more, get the marshmallows and get the chocolate and graham crackers going. You know, we often don't market ourselves well enough here in the Boston tech scene, but cybersecurity is one of those areas where there's just a lot going on. It's not the kind of stuff that the typical computer user or consumer comes into contact with, because there you think about maybe Symantec or McAfee or these companies that protect your personal computer. But what Boston does really well is protect corporate databases and corporate data centers.
Okay, really important, because they're very, very frequently the target of hackers, right?
Yeah, and there were three, you know, there was sort of a trifecta of events that got me thinking about writing this piece. And one of them was almost on Christmas Eve last year, the Ukrainian power grid got hacked, presumably by the Russians, and taken down. So that's sort of a scary thing if hackers can turn off the power at will. Then there was this hack of the Central Bank of Bangladesh, where they basically sucked out $80 million before anybody knew what was going on. And the third one, of course, was this summer when, you know, Donald Trump maybe allegedly suggested that, hey, the Russians should do another hack after the Democratic National Committee hack and try to hunt down some more Hillary Clinton deleted emails. So I had, you know, hacking is clearly in the popular consciousness right now. And so I wanted to look at some of the Boston companies that are trying to, you know, present a line of defense.
Okay. So before we talk about those companies specifically, Boston Business Journal said that in a recent cybersecurity survey of many major markets, this was done by Deloitte in 2015, 50% of those surveyed in Boston said that their company had experienced incidents, cyber incidents, of such a magnitude that it ultimately required executive attention. So there's a huge need for this.
Yeah, and companies don't always. People may remember there was a TJX, TJ Maxx hack maybe 8 or 10 years ago that was in the news a lot. But a lot of times companies are aware that somebody is trying to break into their systems or is sort of hunting around for vulnerabilities, and they may not have to disclose that in a press release or disclose that to the public, because no credit card numbers or no healthcare data or something sensitive was taken. But companies are really aware that there's a lot of snooping around happening in their systems.
Hmm. So tell us about some of the companies in the Boston area that epitomize this bonfire of cybersecurity development.
Well, you know, they're all benefiting from the phenomenon that you mentioned, which is that businesses are really paranoid about winding up in the headlines and being the next target. And so it's almost like, this is one of those areas where businesses spend really, really freely, or invest, I guess they would say, really freely in, you know, the belt and suspenders approach of, we really want to protect our data. So the one technology company that we had here in Massachusetts that went public in 2015 was a cybersecurity company called Rapid7 mm-hmm. that's in Boston. It's now worth $750 million on the market. And what one of the things that they do is help companies realize more quickly that someone has broken in, you know, like they help you spot the broken window in your house more quickly and then patch it up, because the longer hackers have access to the systems, the more damage they can do. But there are also really interesting companies like Veracode, which is a system that software developers use as their writing software to make sure that they're not leaving any openings for hackers to exploit once that software code is up and running on a website or a mobile app. So it's kind of like a, you know, almost spell check for software developers to make sure that they're not creating any problems.
Yeah. You know, so this is really interesting, Scott, because it seems as if the mix that's gone into making Boston such a fertile ground for these cybersecurity companies, as we mentioned before, highly educated workforce, lots of startups in the same ecosystem, and that steady flow of venture capital funding. Now, that's something that's a little different than previous conversations you and I have had about startups in different sectors that are dying to get VC money here and just can't get it.
Yeah, I mean, this is really the way that cybersecurity works. So you could almost rewind the clock 15 or 20 years, and it would sort of feel like the software world and the technology world felt like a decade and a half or so ago, because, you know, a lot of it's based on academic research coming out of MIT or Harvard. We have the venture capitalists locally, firms like there's one that's called 406 Ventures. It's sort of an homage to Ted Williams and his greatest season as a Red Sox slugger. So we have the venture capitalists here. We also have a lot of financial services and healthcare companies here in Boston that are those paranoid customers
you don't have to go far to look for those.
Yeah,
customers.
You know, you drive across the Charles River and you can knock on a door in the Longwood Medical area, and there's someone who's probably worried about the threat that your little startup is addressing. And the last thing is that, you know, these are still companies that have sales forces that go out and knock on doors of the Fortune 500 and want to talk to the CISO, the Chief Information Security Officer, which is kind of a new role. And so it's not, it's not like a Dropbox type of company where you go to the website and you put in your credit card number and you buy this product. These are things where it's still a sales force that's going out and shaking hands and, you know, taking people to golf.
Now, how large is the cybersecurity industry as a whole?
It's big, you know, $75 billion, I think, is the market research for the global market today. And it's expected to more than double to $170 billion by 2020. So I think what's driving this is that, you know, we have more and more devices that are connected to the internet and are hackable in some way, not just the tablet and the PC and the smartphone that you have at home or use for work, but even smart refrigerators are now hackable, and you could potentially get a login, a login name or a password from somebody's smart fridge. Connected cars, too. There are demos of cars being hacked and data being sucked off of them, or even control being taken. So, you know, this is the flip side of everything in our lives having connectivity, from the wristwatch to the fridge, is that we have to protect everything.
Yeah, so more potential room for growth for Boston companies looking to get into the cybersecurity sector. It also makes me think that if you're looking for a new job, maybe becoming a cybersecurity expert isn't a bad way to go.
No, I learned a new term, which is pen tester, penetration tester. It's somebody who sits around all day and tries to break into stuff. So that might be my next job.
Well, Scott Kirsner is the innovation economy columnist for the Boston Globe, talking to us about why Boston's suddenly a hotbed city for white hats when it comes to cybersecurity. Scott, thanks so much.
Thanks, Meghna.